gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T. David.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. T, it is officially March Madness.
It seemed like it's been March Madness for a while. I mean, I know we've been in March, but I saw so many. Let me just go ahead and give a shout out because I don't even pay no attention to my home team ever. UTC, Chattanooga Moccasins, they won the Southern Conference, SoCo. And they won in dramatic fashion with a last-second buzzer beater. The young man, he shot over like two or three people, nothing but net. It was pretty much half court, maybe a step or two, not even two, but probably a step and a half over half court, drained a three. And now they're going either to the... Well, you probably saw it already. I don't know. Did they get into that playing game to get in, or did they actually get a seed?
Let me see. Did they make a playing game? I really don't even know. They did. They made a state. They a 13 seed.
So they don't have to play in?
They are in it.
So who they got to get beat up out of? Gonzaga or somebody?
They are playing Illinois in the first round.
Okay. So, yeah, what's that, 2 seed?
4 seed.
4 seed, 4-13, okay. Oh, it's 2-15.
Yeah.
1-16, okay. So, I was just shout out to them. And then, Kentucky had the buzzer beater for the women. And then, I feel like it was a couple more. But, anyway, March Madness started. It started. It's been some close games. Was it Richmond? Wasn't a buzzer beater. They had a chance. Richmond.
Rich what?
Don't do that. Richmond. Who did they play?
This is the men.
Yeah. Richmond, Norfolk State.
Oh,
Virginia
Tech.
All them got in. All right. I see y'all out here in the VA out here winning.
Congratulations to Richmond. Y'all are playing Iowa in the first round, and Iowa is on a roll right now. So good luck to you.
That's one of the few games that I watched. And I would just like to say, I like number 15, the twin.
Yeah.
He's so smooth. But I didn't think they ran enough of their offense throwing, but he real smooth. What's his classification? Okay. Well,
bad.
I mean, not that he can't leave whenever, because he already done played 1 year, but.
Yeah.
Look, is it Keegan or Chris? I don't know. I just know he's 15. Okay, apparently he's Keegan.
Yes, that's Keegan Murray. Lord, I didn't realize they were 6'8". He's a sophomore.
So, was he good last year? Do you know?
I don't remember anything about Iowa.
He just blossoming into himself.
Mm.
Keegan and Chris.
I don't want to say that they wasn't. I just, you know.
Chris ain't as good as Keegan.
Well, that
and happened. One left hand. Chris is a lefty and Keegan a righty. Well, at least in shooting, they, you know how that goes. Like LeBron a lefty in all things. Itself shoot the basketball. So, oh, I guess since we're talking about the men's turn basketball, go ahead.
Yeah, I guess we just go ahead and start with the men's bracket. Sorry, ladies, we'll do you next.
Saying the best for last.
Yes. So, I figure we'll just go piece by piece out. You know, we'll kind of call it out. And I figured what we could do was. We could fill out the Mac and T Show picks as we go along.
Child, I have nothing to offer in this.
That's fine. We'll be okay. All right. You know enough. You know enough to offer some feedback. So, in the West, our 1-16 matchup is Gonzaga and Georgia State. I guess you were okay with me picking Gonzaga to win that one. Let's see. An 8-9 matchup. It will be Boise State and Memphis. Hardaway and them have got it figured out since they let Imani Bates go. They struggled early on in the season because he just couldn't, him and Penny just seemed like they couldn't gel too well. And they let him go and things.
And the kid, one of the kids.
One of the best recruits in the nation. But he was not willing to be a point guard, apparently, is the word I heard.
Well, what he thought he wanted to be?
I don't know.
Okay, go ahead.
So, right now, he's a man without a team. But anyway, Memphis, I'm going to pick them. I don't know anything about Boise State. I'm not even going to lie to you.
It's in Kentucky. No, it ain't. That's not. I'm thinking of. No, I'm thinking of the other. What's the other B team?
Bowling Green.
Bowling Green, yeah.
Yeah, Boise State would be in Boise, Idaho. For anyone that is geographically inclined.
yeah, no, I was thinking I got for some reason.
5-12 matchup, UConn and New Mexico State. No upset here in the 5-12. I'm gonna go with UConn. 4-13, we got Arkansas and Vermont. I gotta go with the SEC. Then we come to our first playing game. It's 6 Alabama. Will play against either Rutgers or Notre Dame.
Whatever, Alabama.
Yeah.
Why is that a playing game?
3-14 matchup. Texas Tech, the most boring team in the nation, but they get it done against Montana State. I'm going to go with Texas Tech.
Why you say they boring?
Just because the way they play. They play that Virginia style of ball where it's defense. It's not a lot of scoring.
Okay.
And they slow it down, and you know, Michigan State and Davidson in the 7-10 matchup. We'll go with the Spartans. And even though there was some people on ESPN saying that it could possibly happen, the Duke Cal State Fullerton 2-15 matchup, I am not picking upset because I've been burned too many times before trying to pick.
Not with Duke. It might be in another number two, like with Auburn playing Jackson State, where they should beat them. But go ahead.
So let's see. Going down to the East, the 1-16 is Baylor and Norfolk State. Baylor, North Carolina and Marquette in the 8-9. I like.
Y'all know who you picking on that.
I like the Tar Heels. 5-12 matchup we have. St. Mary's against Playing Game. I think that's Wyoming and Indiana. I'm going with St. Mary's because they have given Gonzaga fits this year. And I just like that they're a 5 seed. And I want to see them in my next matchup that I'm picking. 4-13, UCLA versus Akron. UCLA, because I want to see that UCLA-St. Mary's matchup. 6-11. Texas against the ACC champion, Virginia Tech.
Upset.
Yes, we're going with the Hokie.
Hokie, Hokie High.
Hokie High. Sorry, Clark. 3-14 matchup, Purdue against Yale. Purdue all day long.
Pause. Okay. Purdue. Okay, I don't want to call him Yao Ming because it's something like X or Z. I think it's something Z. But it's probably spelled XY, something like that. ZI. Anyway, that young man is huge.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
He like 7 feet, 290. He was like 250 for real. And he hit the backboard yesterday. This was the one game that I actually paid attention to. I ain't watch all of it, but I was paying attention and watched the first and the last. He hit the backboard like somebody had shot fake. The whole thing was shaking. I was like, what in the world? And they said he's 7. I thought the man said 7'4". I'm not sure.
7'4" from Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Two, 250 something pound. And I was like, Canada. Anyway, go ahead.
Look, as soon as I read it, I said the same thing in my head, but I let it go.
Yeah, because I was like, what? Well, he looked like he Asian, but go ahead.
Zach Edey. Yes, indeed. Him and Jaden Ivey, a 1-2 punch. That's going to be trouble. So we're going with Purdue there against Yale. 17 game, Murray State in San Francisco. Going with Murray State because this team, boy, they rebound and they defend, and that helps you in tournament time. And if they had a Ja Morant.
I was about to say, that's Ja's boys.
If they had a Ja Morant type of guard with the way their post players are this year, this team could be nasty. But let's see. They'll play against Kentucky because I don't see St. Peter's winning that. Then we go up here to the South region. Arizona against the playing game. I'm not even going to bother telling you who's in the playing game because Arizona's going to win that. Seton Hall and TCU in the 8-9 matchup. Ooh, that's a tough one. Let's go with Seton Hall.
I ain't saying no.
Houston UAB, Andy Kennedy led Alabama Birmingham to the tournament. First time in many years. Congrats to AK, but he's going home. Illinois Chattanooga. What we gonna do here? We gonna pick UTC in the upset?
No, we not.
We not. We gonna stack. Okay.
I ain't seen Illinois, but that UTC got the one kid. I think it's something like Baptiste, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that they've been upset nobody.
Okay, a fight.
Good luck though, y'all.
6-11 matchup, pits Colorado State against Michigan. I'm gonna say that Juwan and them pull this upset out.
And this is this an upset if they beat them?
I don't know. I wouldn't call.
Michigan must not been playing well because they're 11. That's a low seed. But go ahead.
Tennessee and Longwood and 314 UT.
That's another Virginia school. Go ahead.
Upset. If you don't mind, I'd like to pick this next upset. We have the 7-10 matchup of Ohio State
and
Loyola Chicago. I do.
All right, go with
it. I do. I really think that's
Villanova probably going to come out of that anyway, so it won't be no loss.
There you go. So, yeah, we're just moving right along. Midwest, Kansas, bless the other two teams' hearts. San Diego State and Creighton.
I don't know. I just know Creighton names seem more familiar around basketball, at least this time of year, than them.
I'm going to go with Creighton. Even though I saw San Diego State play recently, they were okay. But Creighton there, Iowa and Richmond.
The Spiders going to get just crushed up on this one. Because I don't know that they're going to be able to guard they got some good guards other than Keegan. Oh, now I know him like I know him.
Jack Rabbits of South Dakota State and 13 take on Providence.
You remember when Providence used to be a name brand? Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to go with Providence. Picking an upset in the next one, though, because
you think Iowa State going to get LSU?
LSU is all kind of discombobulated at this point.
What done happened?
Will Wade some has juicy been fired after they lost to Arkansas. With the notice of allegations came out 2 days before that.
Oh, Lord.
So, yeah, he has been fired with calls and...
So they assistant coaches running the things.
Yes, and one of the assistant coaches that we both know, Bill Armstrong, that was at Ole Miss, mm-hmm. He has been fired as well. Because
that's a hot mess. I need to look up on that one.
Part of the allegations is him making thousands of dollars of payments to play. Anyway. So yeah,
I thought you could pay them now. Go ahead.
The NCAA said this happened pre NIL.
We need to grandfather this in.
We coming for y'all. last one. Anyway, Iowa State with the upset there. Wisconsin and Colgate, even though I love toothpaste, I always got to go with Wisconsin here. USC Miami, I'm going to go with the Hurricane. And then Auburn, just because.
HBCU in the building. Jackson State out here. Football did well. Now the football basketball team done won their tournament.
Oh, yes, and the women sure did. Let's see. Back to the West.
No. We're not going all the way through, Brian. Let's go when the next Brian won on Monday.
Oh, no, this is for the tournament challenge. I forgot to be more specific.
Oh, okay.
This is for the tournament challenge. So, yes, we would have to push all the way through for our picks to matter. So, back to the West. Gonzaga. Oh,
this is going to take all day.
Now, we're finna fly through this. Gonzaga and Memphis. We can go to Zags.
Is Gonzaga good? Because they keep being good and don't win nothing.
I think that they're expected. A lot of people expect them to be in the Final Four this year, but I think
gonna make it.
I think they could be upset. And let's see, UConn and Arkansas. I'll go with Arkansas, even though I think UConn defensively could get them some trouble. Alabama, Texas Tech. I'm gonna go with.
Actually, we were with Alabama. I like. Hold on, I feel like they had one kid that I thought was good.
I think Alabama, they have been up and down this year, but I think they could take that. Michigan State and Duke. Boy, it's a classic matchup. I'm going with Duke. Down to the East. Baylor, Carolina, Baylor, St. Mary's, UCLA. It doesn't matter because Baylor's going to win the next game in my mind. So I'm going to pick St. Mary's.
St. Mary's is they got the.
They're very. No, that's Loyola Chicago.
Oh, okay.
Yes. The Hokies in Purdue. Bye, Hokies. I hope y'all had a nice run. This next game could get ugly.
Yeah, just Purdue good side defensively. They going to be a tough out.
So Kentucky and Murray State, that'll be a battle. The state of Kentucky will be glued to the TV. I'm gonna pick Kentucky.
Kentucky too athletic, I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Yeah, so going up here to the South. Arizona gonna beat Seton Hall. Houston will beat Illinois. Tennessee, which I think can make a huge run, will beat Michigan. Villanova will take out our Ramblers. Kansas and Creighton.
What you acting like that's a debate?
Kansas moving on. Iowa, because I think Iowa's going to take Kansas out in the next round. Illinois State and Wisconsin, the Badgers, too big and too burly. Miami and Auburn, got to go to Auburn. All right, now we are in the Sweet 16. Gonzaga and Arkansas, go to Zags again.
Upset alert.
Alabama and Duke, we're going to go with Alabama. Then down the bottom, got East, Baylor, and St. Mary's, Baylor. Purdue and Kentucky, I got Purdue. If for no other reason, because I just want to see them keep going. Arizona and Houston, I think this is a toss-up, because I think Houston is very athletic and can defend. Arizona's playing really good right now. I'll let you be the coin flipper. Who you want?
I ain't saying nobody, Brian.
Let's go upset here. No. Let's go Arizona and then Tennessee for the upset of Villanova. That's what we'll do. We'll come down here. Iowa going to upset Kentucky, Auburn. Gonzaga and Alabama. Could this, because Alabama beat them once already this year.
I about to say, I don't think Gonzaga, yeah. I think it's going to be Alabama, Arkansas, but go ahead. No, not Arkansas. Who I said that was going to be upset them? In a way.
We got Alabama, then
Alabama, yeah.
Purdue to beat Baylor.
I think this is the team that had. Go ahead.
Tennessee, even though, you know. Yeah, I'm going to go with Tennessee to beat Arizona. And then I'm going to go with Iowa, Auburn.
Auburn.
Did you like Iowa? What did you think about Iowa?
Oh, that's going to be a hard. That's going to be a last second game. Iowa good, but Auburn pretty solid.
And they have
a played a better defense?
Iowa.
Oh, that might be the nail bite. That might be
Go with Iowa. So, Final Four. We have Alabama, Purdue against Tennessee, Iowa. We're going to mess around. I'm going
to
do Purdue.
Tennessee going to find a way to lose.
Well, they've been playing so good right now.
Oh, well, maybe they won't.
And people are acting like they have a shot to if they got it going, they can make a run. I'm going to go Purdue, Tennessee, and then let Purdue be our national champion. Final score, we'll say it was 75-73. Submit picks. All right.
Part of the tough time that Purdue had yesterday was when, soon as they said they had beat that team two times, I was like, it's going to be hard to beat them three times.
All right. Now we move on to our women.
In that Iowa game.
And lucky for you, I've already got our women's bracket filled out.
Lucky for me, I don't know nothing. Let me see who went there. South Carolina, we're going to take them to the Final Four. Look, in my mind. Stanford and South Carolina.
Our Final Four championship for the game. Women.
I just killed a whole bunch of brackets.
Our Final Four for the women as currently constructed. Let me just move some things around here.
Did I get it right? Is it Stanford and South Carolina in the
Final Four? I have South Carolina, NC State. I have NC State beating Stanford, but Stanford could very well beat them. I just did that because I wanted to see NC State in the championship game. Oh, let's see. Where was I? I have more upsets than I thought I would in the women's bracket.
Did you put Florida upset UCF? I don't even know if that's an upset. That's horrible. I wish they hadn't put them in there.
Because
they got the kid that's injured. Never mind.
Right. If she was playing, I would have picked Florida. But with her out, that hurts.
I have
NC State defeating South Carolina 78-76 in the championship game. South Carolina, Louisville on one side of the Final Four, and Stanford, NC State on the other. But there are some very, very interesting matchups that could possibly come about.
SEC got 7 teams in this year?
Iowa, South Carolina, if that happens in the elite, I guess that'd be the Sweet 16. That'll be a heck of a matchup.
That's the young lady that I never can remember her name.
Caitlin Clark.
Did you see her commercial? Now, I could be wrong because I can't really tell when she out of her jersey. She is getting a soda out of a drink machine. She's saying Coca-Cola, some Coca-Cola commercial. I think that's her. I was like, they got these commercials. And I seen one male basketball player and one. I was like, you don't got you the big check. Let me investigate further. Go ahead and talk about that. Say her name again?
Caitlin Clark.
Caitlin.
And then, I just think that she's a special player. I mean, she's fixing to be the first person in NCAA women's basketball history to lead the nation in both scoring and assists if her stats hold up through the tournament. Let's see. Arizona being a 4 seed is kind of rough because I know how they're a 4 seed by the way they finished the season, which they were missing a key piece, Kate Reese, who dislocated her shoulder late in the year. but she is now back, so they'll be helpful. That'll be helpful to them. Let's see. Ole Miss, even though it's going to be in Waco, I still think they can give Baylor some trouble in the second round. Belmont. Going
on the road is hard.
Yeah, I know. So difficult. And, you know, Belmont against Oregon, that'll be a good matchup. I think if they play, even though it's going to be in Knoxville, and that'll be hard, I think Buffalo could upset Tennessee. Deja Fair, the guard from Buffalo, she's a talent.
I don't know. Tennessee, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. And depending on if the Hairston girl is back, I think she got hurt in the SEC tournament for Tennessee. If she's not back, that could be a problem for them. Let's see. If Kentucky, Princeton, if they had not finished the season, the championship and everything the way they did, and the way Kentucky's playing, I would have picked Princeton. But Kentucky playing so well right now, I got them rolled.
Well, Ryan, better to get it. Don't be out here playing no more now. You showed up for the SEC tournament. You better keep it rolling.
I'm going to tell you what, my bracket could just fall all the way apart. NC State and Kansas State in the second round. If that girl from Kansas State, big girl, Ayoka Lee, she scored 61 points. She broke the NCAA record this year for most points in the game with 61. If she has one of those games and gets NC State's bigs in foul trouble, that could cause a problem. But I still think they have a shot to win that one.
Well, maybe it's not her, Brian. I can't find it. Maybe, I don't know who that was. And I know it's an athlete.
I'm going to guess it was Paige Beckers. If it was.
Let me see if Paige. Lord, I'm saying all white girls look alike. Paige. Paige, what's her name?
Beckers. Beuckers.
Okay.
But I mean, and I also could mess up my bracket with UConn being the 2 seed in that region. They could, because they're back at full strength now because Paige is back from her injury.
Well, maybe it wasn't an athlete at all. I thought that was a commercial with, because I was like, yes, it's about time. I thought it was maybe they don't play basketball. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry, I get distracted.
You're fine. Yeah, but this first year they're having the playing games for the women, so they get to field of 68, just like
NCAA. Let's stop this. Let's stop this bracket to play in. That's just stupid. Either you play your way in, and you in or not. Just stop having these extra games for no reason. Now these people don't. They probably won their conference, right?
Some of them, yes.
Well, see, if you ain't win your conference, then no. Let's cut this. Let's go on back to regular 64 and stop trying to make more money. That's all y'all doing.
I have a feeling I already know what you're going to say about this next comment, but it's also historic because it'll be the first time in history that the women are using the moniker of March Madness.
Don't nobody even know that they haven't been using it.
And like I said,
I was surprised when you said that. I was like,
people, oh. Like I said, I know exactly what T would say, almost word for word.
Didn't nobody know, but I mean, I always just assumed it was March Madness because it was March Madness. Who knew, Brian? I didn't even really think I heard any women complaining about, oh, we don't get to use the March Madness thing on the court. Who paying attention to the court? It's March Madness. We know it's March. We know you in the big dance, and that's it. Come on, y'all. Do better. Get rid of this waste of time, four games.
It's the field of 136, as ESPN called it last night.
That ain't it. Let's let that go right now and go back to the old landmark.
All right, let's move on from the tournament as we will return to that as the games play on this week. Let's talk. I'll let you have the floor and give your talk on everything that's going on with the Florida football program.
Okay, hold on.
And if you want to sprinkle in what happened this weekend with the Florida basketball program, you can sprinkle that in as well.
What happened?
Oh, I knew you. I was hoping that somebody would have called you.
Ain't nobody told me nothing.
Mike White,
Hold on, Georgia basketball to hire Florida basketball.
Mike White has done left y'all for the Bulldogs.
Let me tell you something, Mike White. Good riddance. Because, one, you ain't do nothing for us. Go on down there and ruin their program.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Brian, and I like Mike because I met Mike when he was at Mississippi. Brian, good riddance. The writing was on the wall. He was probably going to get fired anyway. He probably knew it because he hadn't done nothing. You tell me if I'm wrong. What had they done?
No, I mean, he...
Okay, thank you. I was just wondering.
They made the tournament a couple times, but that in Florida, that couple times don't get it for you.
And this is what I fail to understand is how can you be mediocre and then... Well, I guess that's a horizontal move and not necessarily a move up.
I think, honestly, it's a better move for Mike because the pressure won't be there. Because Georgia don't care about basketball the way Florida does and places like that.
But now that the football team doing well, they're going to be looking for other men's programs to do well.
I agree.
I don't know. Good riddance. I ain't gonna even say good luck because I don't want you to have no do well over there. Good riddance. But Florida football, Brian, Coach Billy don't hire like 10,000 people. I'm trying. I need to find the list of new hires. He got offensive, defensive coordinator. You know the offensive line, the defensive line coach. Then for all those positions, it's like a analyst for like the offensive line, and then it's like a quality control. And then I was like, well, what's a quality control? And then like after he started hiring them, he had somebody that does the. Did he call it the Gator Army or the Gator Maid? I don't know. I ain't looked in to find out what Gator Maid is yet. And he might be trying to hold that on, keep that close to his vest. But Gator Maid. And I was like, okay. But I guess that's something that they're going to, you know, help the young men outside of the realm of basketball. It should be interesting because apparently at least Alabama, they've been had like all these trillions of coaches, and Florida has been behind. But I was like, what's an analyst? And then what's quality control? That's the person that look at the pill bottle and make sure the cotton ball. But apparently they, I already had read somewhere one of his former players or something talked about how he is like plays really, really like attention to detail, like it's his thing. But with all these, I'm a defensive analyst for the linebackers, and I'm a quality control, and I'm a personnel analyst. Have no idea what your job is, sir. And I'm the director of research and evaluation, and I'm the personal analyst for the offense. Don't know what you do. Then it's just a regular wide receiver. And then I just the assistant athletic director recruiting strategy. That's a young woman named Katie. Now, apparently she was with him at Illinois. What was it? Louisiana Lafayette or something. Mm-hmm. And then she left him and went to Georgia. But when he got the big job, she came back to him. Then we got the director of player personnel. That's like we always had that kind of job. And then the director of player and athletic development, Brian, hold on. Director of recruiting innovation, Brian, what are we doing? Assistant director of football operations, logistics, and analytics, Brian, assistant director of football operations for quality control and assistant to the head coach, Brian, assistant strength and conditioning. And then that's a regular job. And then he'll go another regular tight end. Director of player engagement in NIL. I don't know.
That was assistant, smart. They need to have that position because somebody needs to be helping their children out in this.
Assistant for player development. Director of on-campus recruiting and football events. That's this is a young lady too, Bree Wade. offensive analyst, Lord, I already talked about y'all, these jobs we on. Director of Advanced Scouting and Self-Scout.
There you go.
And this man is like 100. Paul Pasqualoni. I don't even know. I probably jacked his name up. Director of Sports Nutrition. Because I was talking to Larry. Shout out Larry. I said, ain't no way. I'm surprised he ain't had nobody for diet, you know. And Larry was saying how they already had this. I was like, no, the way he's hiring, there's no way he doesn't do this for just football. Sure right. enough. Later on, here come Kelsey. She is nutrition for them. And then here we go, these quality control for defense, quality control for defense, director of college personnel. Don't know what that means. Associate director for sports health for football. I guess he the head medical person. Senior director of player development and alumni relations. You see what is going right. Director of speed improvement and skill development. How many jobs? Because remind you, most of these jobs, you know, when, what's his name was there? He had his offensive, all the defense coordinators, and you had your line coach, your running backs. He don't add like 50 other jobs.
Well,
these quality control, these analysts. And what are the coaches doing now that they don't have, they got recruiting people and quality control and what they do?
Listen, they all have their own little responsibilities. So
here go another senior director of player relations and Gatormade. Now, again, I hadn't found out what this Gatormade is, but this another, he hired three women.
He did.
So I like that.
He is making the Democrats happy because he's creating jobs during the time of them being in charge.
He has made so many jobs, and then in the state where they down there acting like, yeah, I don't know what DeSantis is doing, hollering at kids about wearing a mask, making them take the mask off.
They can't say gay down there no more.
Well, that's gonna run through the rest of the country if somebody don't get it under control. But yeah, Brian, I thought that I would like to share that we gonna have like for every player is two coaches,
as it should be, as it should be.
Where is all this money coming from? My goodness!
Look, don't be surprised if you, alumni start getting in the little papers in the mail monthly asking you to donate funds.
They better go on. Associate Director of Digital Strategy, another woman.
Oh Lord. And that's
and besides the nutritionist, I didn't see this hire, football performance dietitian, which is very different from the nutritionist.
There you go.
I'm expecting great things because all this money we spent.
it better work out for him, Lord.
I mean, he got not this year, but next year. Associate Director of Creative Media and Football Recruiting. It's a lot. It's a way too much. From, I'm expecting some top 10 recruits, recruiting class.
From a level of football where there is just millions of jobs out there created, let's go to the NFL where one such person will not have a job next season.
Oh my God, Brian.
Calvin Ridley suspended one season for gambling.
What are we doing, NFL? What are we doing? Now, I know y'all got rules against it. Mm-hmm. Okay, given. He knew the rules. Okay. Uh-huh. He didn't bet on against his team. And he only did it once. And you're going to suspend him the whole year. We got people out here. Go ahead.
One of the funny, this is just something funny that I saw on social media about this situation. Somebody had put out there that when Goodell steps up to the mic to announce the suspension, it's gonna say Roger Goodell on behalf of the NFL brought to you by DraftKings and FanDuel.
Exactly. Like, they got all these partnerships with them.
Yes.
And, but I'm, you give three games to a man for punching somebody. Oh, a woman.
That's the problem.
You give six games to somebody for choking a woman and then take it down to three games when he found not guilty. You give another five or six games to somebody for choking their wife and being abusive. Uh-huh. And you didn't do anything really to Urban Meyer out here just making the brand look bad, if that's what we going with, and the integrity of the game. And you didn't even look into the allegations that the Miami, either the owner or whoever, tried to pay $100,000 to the coach for every game he lost. That sounds like some kind of form of gambling to me. So what are we doing? You talking about the integrity of the game when somebody's paying that owner team to lose? And we're not going to look into that. But you're going, this young man did one thing. He wasn't even playing on the team.
No, and didn't even vote. And didn't even, gamble against his team, against or for his team. It wasn't even his game, his team's game.
So what are we doing? And he wasn't even playing at the time.
No.
That's so what are we doing? I think it's going to be, I think the pressure is going to come on them and they're going to cut it. But I do want to say, go ahead, you was going to say something.
I was just going to reiterate what you said about the whole beating of, you know, wives and spouses and all of that, and you get, you know, six games here, seven games there, and we're going to suspend somebody a whole season for gambling.
One time, Brian.
Yeah,
and just, then he ain't spent like, he didn't bet $150,000. He ain't bet $500,000. He bet $1,500.
That he did.
One time. And you know that that's all he did because y'all don't investigate it. Whoop, you suspend it for the season. Oh, so we see where you stand. You don't care about women as much as you would like to act like you do. And if they bet and break the rules some kind of way. Because, again, they wanted to talk about the integrity of the game, but that man told you that owner or GM or whoever offered him $100,000 to lose games. What is that not dealing with the integrity of the sport?
I hope, bless it, and just for him and Brian Flores, who we're talking about, I hope that Pittsburgh is successful while he's there, because if not, Lord have mercy, the media and everybody will come after him for all the flames he's thrown out there and all the things he said about his former team and the hiring processes of the NFL. And
I don't think they'll come after him because he's not the head coach and they don't really care about the assistants that much. And he don't really have no reason to be behind it, because when they interview people, it'd be the head coach besides the players.
Yes,
so people forget him that he even there after a while. But kudos to the former William and Mary grad that hired him, the Pittsburgh coach.
Oh, he's from William and Mary? I had no idea.
What's his name?
Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
Had no idea.
He's William Mary Tomlin.
Go Tribe.
That's hilarious.
So
that burnt my biscuits.
That's a whole sad situation. And like you said, hopefully that they get enough pressure to cut it down to, you know, a more respectable level of suspension.
At the best, I'll be like three or four games. Yeah. I'm sad because Chris Bouchard, I used to like his commentary, but I'm starting to get to the point where I can't watch him, Shannon, Stephen A, because they just be over the top, seeing like with everything. Because he was like, I agree with it. And I'm like, how do you agree with it? And I'm just coming from this perspective for him. He is like, he's not shy about his faith and how he believes in Christ and Christian and all that. And I'm like, one of the principles of Christianity that at least that I believe that Jesus talked about, do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Love mercy, holding back mercy, what you deserve. So how are you, even if you saying, yes, he deserve a consequence for this, but you not trying to hold love mercy on saying you want to give him the fullest extent that they can do besides kicking him out forever. I'm like, that don't align, but maybe your values around your faith don't go into how you come and take, because he was the one that was, they should just, what's his name in Michigan? She should be suspended for the rest of the year. And okay, yeah, I can agree with you. He probably needs to go to anger management, but I can see him being suspended for the rest of the season after the face smush with that man. Right. But then you say, oh, he don't even think he should coach in the NCAA tournament. And I'm like, where is your mercy standard at? Like, you just want people to get the full extent of the law or the worst, harsh consequence they can for everything? So that bothered me about him, because he's talked about his faith and all, and I'd like to have a conversation with him about that. What else to align?
Interesting. Next thing on our docket is another thing that you brought up to us, the Rockabye Baby.
Let's get this straight, Brent. Hold on, because I got to read it. Make sure I get it. Get it right. Okay. Well, hold on. I want it written out. I want to see it. Well, it say lyrics. Why ain't I seeing the words? I should know it, right? But I want to, I don't want to hear it. I want to see the lyrics. Okay. Here we go. Okay, no, that ain't it. But listen to this. Rockabye Baby. On the treetops. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. When the bough breaks, the cradle will fall. And down will come baby, cradle and all. Brian, why would you sing that to your child?
This is like sayings that don't make no sense that we did before.
Brian.
But yeah,
baby in the tree, and then when the tree, you didn't get the wind come, you ain't get the baby out the cradle.
Everything fell, baby and all.
Come on. And people sing it, and when I let you die, it's okay. And all, like, he'd be singing it so lovingly in the treetop when the wind broke. No, we do not. Don't ever sing that song to your kid again. I don't think I've ever sung it to anybody. I don't know why I know it, because I'm pretty positive my mama ain't never sang no baby nursery rhyme. But Brian, there is some underlying meaning, and I should have written it down, so I'm not going to try to go into it. But he said that it was a underlying meaning to it for the people that created it. Just like the Humpty Dumpty and sitting on the wall and having a great fall. And they couldn't put him back together. So, but yeah, people, we got to be careful when we sing it to our kids, because that's reckless. Oh, let's put the baby in the tree. Oh, the wind is blowing so hard. Okay, we're just going to leave it up there. And so when it's about the branch break, it's just the baby fall, and it'll be okay.
My goodness.
We better than this. Okay, maybe not. I shouldn't even say we. I don't know who we are. Somebody wouldn't, because they made the song. We back on.
Go for it.
Mary, Mary, quite contrary. How does your garden grow? With silver bells and cockle shells and pretty maids all in a row. Oh, Brian, listen to this. The Mary in this rhyme apparently refers to Mary Tudor, aka Bloody Mary. Her garden is actually a cemetery, and the silver bells and cockle shells are torture devices. And the Pretty Maid, legend says that this is a reference to a guillotine, which is the name, which was nicknamed the Maiden.
Yeah.
And let me go back to the one that I was telling you about, Humpty and the Dumpty. Humpty Dumpty, we all know it. This nursery rhyme isn't about a giant egg, as suggested in the illustration for children's book. It's actually a cannon used during the English Civil War. It was destroyed by cannonballs, fell into a marshland, and could never be repaired. Then the illustrator of Through the Looking Glass by Lewis Carroll randomly decided to illustrate the poem with a picture of a large egg, and the rest is history.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's about a civil war. Nothing to do with this egg falling. And the last one that I'd like to share today is Ring Around the Rosie.
Oh, no. Not the Rosie.
A pocket full of posies. Ashes, ashes, we all fall down. Everybody know that one. So according to this legend, this nursery rhyme is in reference to a 1665 Great Plague of London. The Ring Around the Rosie is supposedly a reference to bubonic plague rash. The pocket full of posies is described a handful of herbs people would carry to mask the smell of the sickness. And at last, the last two lines are ashes, we all fall down. That's about dying in the ashes, and ashes about being the cremated bodies.
Got to be more careful.
Huh?
Got to be more careful. Oh.
Yes, you got your mic on.
My mic, yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Got to be more careful.
So, yeah, at this point, you better make up your own rhymes for your kids. And we can revisit this later with the three blind mice and London bridges falling down. On our next episode of Things That We Do That We Should Probably Stop Doing.
Nursery rhymes that are questionable.
With questionable history, questionable past.
Goodness gracious. Well, speaking of questionable things, Russell Westbrook, not too fond of his latest nickname of what they call him, West Brick.
Brian, stop shooting brick. Did you see yesterday?
The game was on.
I didn't watch the game, but I saw two highlights. He shot a brick three, came back. I don't know if it was back to back, but whoever clipped it came back and shot an air ball so bad. Austin Reeves almost got hit by it. You know how you go because somebody shoot, you go to rebound.
Right.
And then the ball came at him so fast, he kind of ducked, flinched. At this point, I know that you're trying to, like somebody on one of them places, it was like, oh, you got to try to rehab his image. At least, you're trying to trade him. You want him to have some value. But at this point, I don't think he is mentally there and he's not coming back.
No, I think that's obvious. I think mentally he has checked out a long time ago because, like you said, he is putting up shots that are just
atrocious.
It's like he's just throwing them up there. It's
almost like he ain't never played before. You know, he reminds you, oh, this is what it is.
When Space Jam, when they took
his mojo has been stolen, and he better go find the monsters. Because his mojo has been taken. And because you remember how Charles Barkley them couldn't shoot or nothing?
Yes, he couldn't even, Larry Johnson couldn't even put the water in his mouth from the water bottle.
Yeah. His mojo been stolen, and I don't know that he gonna get it back.
In fact,
it's the Moonstars, or what are they called?
The Monstars. Exactly like Patrick when Patrick shot that free throw and then shot it completely over the goal. That's what this reminds me of.
I mean, he is embodying that. It's sad, but stop shooting bricks.
I'm surprised nobody has made that correlation yet.
I don't know.
But maybe because this generation is used to that computer version.
That 10,000 hour long thing LeBron did.
Yes, and not the Monstars.
Oh, they didn't steal the mojo, did they?
He tried to steal LeBron and keep him in the computer, but other than that, no.
Yeah, they should have stayed along the lines of the mojo stealing. That was an important part of that movie.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know what, other than just going and working out for teams, I don't know what he's going to do to get somewhere different after this year.
Well, after next year, you know, he got that $47 million. I don't know what the Lakers going to do. They can waive him and just do what they did with Luol Deng and stretch out his contract, but you just about to get off the Luol Deng contract because we've been paying him $8, $9 million here and there, and he ain't played for us. People, I don't even remember he played for us. And so don't do that with this contract and then let him go somewhere else and play.
I completely.
He won't be back. I know that much.
I ain't forget he played there, but it's been a while since he played.
This is last year that they getting that off the books. They had $9 million just wrapped up that they couldn't use because they owed it to him and they stretched it out. Plinko done made a fine mess and he better figure it out. Cause some rumors have it that they might be letting him go. But Jenny Bush is trying to run this program to the ground like her brother did. Or she gonna let the Rambuses do it? I don't know.
Well, maybe they can all get it figured out in the next handshake line.
You think we'll figure it? Well, we'll go to that in a second. All I wanted to say about the handshake line, I think it should be done away with. What's the point? That's not sportsmanship.
It's literally just something. One more thing that they've done for years that people just feel like you need to do.
But it's not sportsmanship.
No, I understand. I agree with you. I feel the same way.
No, I'm just saying it's not sportsmanship. What are we doing it for? Good game. Well, the other team that lost don't want to hear that.
Mm-mm. Most and of the kids don't want to say it.
And so, America, stop it. You know, I stopped shaking hands because people nasty, and y'all saw what I saw in 2019 in March when the crazy happened. Mm-hmm. But I also stopped shaking hands because when I did my homework and found out why the shaking hands started, I was like, this is stupid. You know why people shake hands, Brian? Uh-uh. It was a way to show that I didn't have a weapon. That you weren't going to try to shoot me or something when we met for whatever reason. So we shook hands and you could see that my hand, that I ain't had nothing in my hand. And I was like, why are we still shaking hands? I don't think nobody, it was a form of greeting, but it was more for me to make sure you ain't had no gun or no knife or nothing and trying to take me out when we met.
Yeah. I think
so. We need to get rid of the shake hand line. This has nothing to do with Juwan Howard situation.
But I mean, but if you want to bring that situation into it, not having a handshake line would alleviate situations from that, like that, from happening. Because I think a lot of that came from just being upset and being emotional. And
the ceremony of let's shake hands. Yeah, now, right. It's going to look bad if I don't do it. So then we don't have to talk about how old the Detroit Pistons, they didn't show no. Why would I want to shake your hand? You just beat me.
Not only did they not shake hands, they left the court early and walked by the Bulls bench and didn't even acknowledge them on their way out.
But I just lost. Oh, I can be a sore loser. I'm okay with that. And I'm okay with the one or two guys that might be okay with shaking hands with somebody, but I don't think it should be forced, which at this point is like a rule, a non-spoken rule, that after the game, you get in a line and walk. and hit people's hands, which is, again, with this virus out here, we should probably stop touching each other as much. Brian, note to, I'm giving you a heads up. Another variant is coming. A sub-variant is going buck wild in China.
Yes, that's all this.
And a couple people going to come here and then it's going to be here. So, y'all get, don't put these, stop listening to everything. Keep your mask on. If you social distance, I'm telling you, it's too soon. It's too soon. It's too soon. Did you see what they was talking about real quick? LeBron, go sit down somewhere. Talking about free Kyrie.
Oh, yeah, because he's able to come and sit at the games and not make, but he can't play.
Come on. Kyrie can free himself by doing one thing.
Yes, get vaccinated.
The end. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the shaking hands should go. And just stop shaking hands, period. And what time is it? Get rid of this hand shaking line, because then nobody want to do it. Right. Just do it because you've been taught to do it. It has no value.
Well, everyone, we are here. It is the week that many, many basketball fans look forward to all year long. First week of the NCAA tournaments.
When is it? Thursday?
Games start on Wednesday, the playing games.
We ain't counting that mess.
And then, yes, Thursday and Saturday, I believe, for the men, and Friday, Sunday for the women. So, yeah, we are here. It is time. And let the ball fall where it may. And as always, I'm one of your hosts, Brian McKay, and I am with
T. Keep Hope Alive, Davis.
And this has been the Mac and T Show podcast. Thank you for listening.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top. We're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.